on this episode of Pottages.
Die go becomes die went.
No. Now, no. Now you've already killed it.
Die go gone. Becomes no, go, go and die.
I'm going to punch you.
Your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages.
Welcome to Pottages episode T6.0. Time to say good try.
Digimon Adventure Try Chapter 6, Our Future.
Recorded May 5th and Ash in the Future 2018.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the resurrected semi-animated shell of the Digimon anime. I'm Jeffrey Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Hey, Jeff, if you have kids in the future, I'll watch them because I'm Gabumon.
Also, because we've been dating for like 11 years, so...
No, it's definitely just because I'm Gabumon.
Also, this is the first time that we are recording a main episode with Ashley and I looking at each other, so it's kind of...
Staring at each other's eyes.
We're on a romantic trip to Lake Tahoe, slash Ashley's hockey tournament, and... In Israel, Ash Soffman.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was an introduction thing. I thought you were still explaining. Good morning. It's 5:30 a.m.
Ohio, Zana.
A bright new sunny day.
It's still dark out.
Good morning. Good morning to you, you.
That one's Andrew. Let's just go with that.
Yeah, that's Andrew. I think we're all lost. So anyway, speaking of being lost... This week, we're looking at the last Try film, so here's a quick recap.
The kids decide to leave Taichi and Daigo in a ditch because they desperately need to go back to the human world ASAP to take a really long lunch break while Yamato yearns for Taichi. Hikari starts to feel guilty for causing the apocalypse. It's fine. But then gets a fever instead of a character arc.
The kids try to fight the looming threat of an animation staff obsessed with Ordinemon's butt. Hackmon reveals that he's repeating everyone's favorite Try film, and Daigo shows Taichi his anime figure collection.
Daigo sacrifices himself to save Taichi and life-size cardboard cutouts of the O2 kids. Takeru wakes up Hikari from her mid-movie nap, and Mako lures the apocalyptic butt to the ocean.
Koshiro finds out that Digimon's data was housed in Ordinemon's butt the whole time. The kids manage to stop the reboot of the real world by laser-beaming memories from her butt into their Digimon.
Taichi somehow manages to generate enough force from running to push Mako and Agumon out of the way of Ordinemon. Red Bull gives Omegamon wings. We never see Joe's girlfriend or Maki. And Taichi says, "Hey, Mako, if we, like, never talk again, we'll always be friends." Heart emoji.
Oh, Joe's girlfriend was Maki.
Oh, shit.
I figured it out.
No, don't do that.
This is our general discussion segment. Let's start off with our one-word reaction. I'll launch us off. I'll go with girlfriend, because I'm so happy that Maki is now Joe's girlfriend, canonically.
No.
What?
Ashley, what's your one-word reaction?
What did I say in the flashcast?
Too bad. The memory's gone. You can't reboot it.
Bad.
Remember when we reviewed chapter one? I recently re-listened to old episodes to see what we talked about. We had all these like thoughts that Tara was going to talk about memories, and they did eventually do the reboot, but like we thought like there'd be stuff with the picture frame, remember?
Oh yeah, like, that picture frame is very underused. Yeah. As a meaningful anything.
Yeah. So what was your reaction?
Bad.
That's there's not much that you need to elaborate there. I guess that's pretty self-explanatory.
Let me tell you that every lingering shot in this movie is held for a solid second or two too long. So we could cut out half the movie.
Yeah, I mean,
and it would be the same movie.
You could actually just speed it, watch it at 2x, and it would feel like a normal anime.
I know.
No.
That is how I feel.
That's how it would feel in the pans and single shots that don't move, whatever, that aren't actually animated. Asher, what's your one-word reaction?
My one-word reaction is good.
Whoa.
Oh, Asher, whatever. Why do you do this to me?
This is the one movie I felt engaged. Are you going to let me talk?
No, because you forget yourself. You don't know what you're talking. Past you and current Never. You don't agree.
I was engaged the whole time. I do agree with you about every second or every shot being held a second too long. But I think that's been a problem throughout the entire series.
It is. Really has.
It totally has, but I feel like it felt much more frustrating this time around.
Yes. Especially since there's apparently a need in every single, you know, intense moment that we have to pan to everybody's face. They're making the same face, but slightly different. And I'm like, I don't care. There's 8 of them. I get it. They're all making a, like,
the same
grunting, like, the sad same face.
Like, you can't tell what they're actually going for, or like what it's actually supposed to mean. And like, the lingering shots have always been a problem. And I feel like this is the movie where they're the most dissonant from what the script is saying of urgency.
Yes.
I don't want to discredit Ash's, like, if Ash's memory has forgotten things. Like, I think it's a fair thing. Like, it's been so long since these movies have come out. We've watched them right when they've come out. It's not like we've been watching them in a weird order, a weird time frame or anything. Like, that's the mindset that they should be expecting people to be in. They shouldn't expect, you shouldn't have to rewatch the movies recently to appreciate them. So I.
And, also, I would absolutely refuse to watch all the movies again. Just,
oh, Jeffrey!
I was literally about to say, someday I want us to rewatch the movies.
No.
Would you rather rewatch the Hobbit movies?
I would absolutely rather rewatch the Hobbit movies. God.
we'll convince Ash off air. No. Listeners, send your heartfelt messages.
Ash doesn't care
First
about
of all,
listeners.
I don't get listener feedback. No.
Okay, Andrew, what's your one word?
Eh?
It's concise. Mine is pretty similar. It's hollow. I feel like eh is kind of like the hollow reaction of... I just feel like this movie, like, there's not much that I look back on. I'm like, oh yeah, that thing was amazing. There are a couple
because
things.
No, because yeah. It's not.
I enjoyed it, but it still makes no sense.
Oh yeah, like, I think the difference in general between me and the three of you is that I never have any expectations, especially not for try.
because I
didn't want anything. Like, there was no question I thought was definitely going to be answered. I didn't expect anything to, like, be remotely good. But then watching it, I was like, oh, I actually, like, am interested in what's happening this time around.
In what part that's happening? No.
Whatever. So we disagree on that. We usually do.
The reason I wouldn't say I'm, like, disappointed because I had such high expectations. It's more like I was preparing myself to be like, I think the trap we could all easily fall into is that there are so many plot-based things you want resolutions to. And I think it's easy to fall into, like, oh, how are they going to resolve all these loose threads? And, like, I explicitly tried to avoid that. You know, like, I was like, I'm not focused on those things. I want, like, interesting character moments and resolution to character arcs. And I feel like we barely got anything on that front is why I feel more disappointed.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't expect that.
And I guess the other angle of expectation is that something you said concisely in the last, when we reviewed chapter 5, was you're like, I gave up on try being good, but I hadn't yet given up on it being coherent. And
so you're wrong, Asher.
But I guess now he's given up on it being coherent. And now,
yeah, like, now you're just, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares? Fight with Ordinemon's exactly. butt is fun, apparently, which it's not.
No, I was not interested in all the shots of Ordinemon's butt. Why does it have boobs?
I mean, that too.
Girl.
Same reason.
I just want to say, if that distortion stays in the podcast, that'd be great. There was some weird Skype distortion while you were, it, like, emphasized you're talking about the butt. Like,
Ordinemon's
butt. The distortion comes from the butt.
Wait, yeah. Did they really say Ordinemon?
Yeah, because that's how it's spelled in Japanese, yeah.
Is
ordine.
It?
I like that because I think it sounds, I mean, the word ordine, I'm not sure how you're supposed to pronounce it because it comes from Latin for order, which...
Ordain? Ordain?
Yeah. Ordain is a similar cognate, but it's like a conjugation of, I think, ordo. Anyway, but it doesn't, nothing thematically about, really has much to do with order, I feel. But I think ordine sounds a bit like DNA and does have the DNA strands kind of thing. That's a bit of a stretch, but...
Sounds like ordinary. Oh, also, how does it,
I wouldn't
doesn't
be surprised.
Everything to do with order? It's like Licky Jedi with chaos and
no, that's the
homeostasis
okay, so
balance and harmony.
That's another
whatever.
Topic that I find frustrating. I feel like there is not a good symmetry in those two, like the structure that's been set up of, okay, there's homeostasis on one side and Yggdrasil on the other side and Libra / Meikumon in the middle. The two sides being homeostasis and Yggdrasil. Homeostasis is all about stasis and order and like things staying, stability and whatever. But Yggdrasil is not about chaos. He doesn't really talk about chaos. He wants to like rule over the human world. He's like, humans are bad. I want to destroy humans.
But Licky Genai's, all of his rants are like,
I don't think
crazy.
His rants are particularly pro-chaos. I think they're pro-humans being terrible and Digimon being forever.
Digimons are forever. He did give us that line, didn't he?
And I feel like in that, like even in that context, like Meikumon is not like order. It's, I don't know. I guess it's against order. It's destroying order.
Yeah.
It's liberating us from the order.
No. Meikumon was the storage for memory. So it's like, okay, we've got big sweeping gestures of chaos on, or whatever, like evil on the one side and stasis, peace, order on the other. But rather than in the middle, a different point is the relationships we have with one another. It's like the points of a triangle rather than a spectrum.
Points of a triangle.
Yes. I said that purposely.
You chose your words purposefully?
How dare you?
I'm the only one who did not react.
I hate homeostasis and Licky Genai and Yggdrasil.
Yeah. They all suck. Although, if I had to choose one villain just to have in this season, I would have gone with Licky Genai as Ken, I guess, because Licky Genai as Ken did not have the Licky connotation, and at least he was enjoying himself. Like, what was up with homeostasis? I still don't know what they wanted.
I mean, homeostasis was not directly in this movie. I guess you could say that in the previous movies when Hikari has been possessed or almost possessed or whatever, homeostasis kind of had a presence there. In this movie, it was just Hackmon speaking 90% on behalf of homeostasis and then occasionally being like, I disagree on this point. And then occasionally doing stuff and then being like, is this the will of homeostasis? Are you helping the kids? Are you hurting the kids? The kids aren't reacting, but how do they know you're helping?
They got Gatomon back, so he was helping.
He was. Like, once that scene finished, it was clear what happened.
Yes.
But, like, during the scene, there were, like, 30 seconds where it was unclear, and the kids just didn't move because moving
costs
money.
They just stare at stuff, and then you see all eight of them staring at it.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Precure team kind of ate the budget again.
I don't even want to get into the murky waters of speculating about budget.
Just I know, I'm joking.
But no, I know. And some people get that it's jokes, some people don't. And it's because I don't think it all just comes down to budget. I think it's just
a bad director.
I don't know. I don't want to say the director is bad, but it's bad direction. Yeah. And
bad
like,
direction, yeah.
And it's just so, and it's been a problem with Tri from the beginning. But I feel like this one felt more, so much more plotting, like I said before, because of the contrast with the urgent tone, but also because like there was lots of reused footage that I feel like never was really that much of a thing before. Reused footage. Like there was like flashbacks to episode 1 of Tri, chapter 1 of Tri, with the like good.
Well, there's less flashbacks in the movie version, I would assume.
Oh, no. When I say flashback, I think you're talking about something else. There's the flashbacks to chapter 1 when, like, Ty's waking up and Kari's waking him up or whatever, and the Ferris wheel and stuff. I think what you're referring to is the rewinds at the beginning of the next episode, which...
You mean the recap?
It's not a recap. It's just rewinding the clock an extra minute or two.
It's just like, here's what happened at the last end of the last one.
Yeah. It's really just like... It's really just rewinding the playhead a little bit, I think. And I think that just happens because the structure of splitting into 5 episodes means is it needs to be, quote unquote, padded more for that. And so, yeah, that's something that would definitely be less prominent in the movie. But I think, actually, both times we watched it, we tried to skip through those.
I skipped through everything. I was like, Digivolutions, don't care. Opening song, definitely don't care. Definitely don't need this recap. Minute and a half of what happened that I just saw.
I still don't want to call it a recap. It's not trying to recap.
Yeah, anything. I would go 3 minutes into each episode and be like, yeah, that's right.
I just want to make it clear, like,
is recap that is
it,
you guys.
Oh yeah, I guess there's a police car. We're evading the Tahoe Popo. But it's a common thing in shonen anime, like Bleach and One Piece, things that are meant to like run forever to pad an extra couple minutes by having, you know, like,
but see, if we cut out all the extra seconds and those things, you need 3 episodes.
Yeah. But in addition to the bad pacing, like there was a lengthy sequences of the movie where they were fighting as champions. And it was just after those sequences, I think Mimi said
they can't go to ultimate.
And I was like, but I was like screaming at the TV, literally screaming at the TV, like, why are you fighting as champions? And then they were like, oh, they can't go to ultimate. And I'm like, great writing there. Like, it shouldn't be like a question you have throughout the scene. And then you're like, oh, that's why.
Honestly, it was still very confusing to me watching it this time. Like, they digivolve to ultimate, and then de-digivolve, but that fight never actually ends. They just de-digivolve and then digivolve back again, and I'm like, what?
No. There was a pause in between where they ate.
There's a couple different... Because I don't know if you're talking about ultimate as the dub term or ultimate as a Japanese term. And I wasn't even sure when they said that. I wasn't listening to Japanese, so I forget what they actually said in Japanese. But like the subtitles could have been referring to either one. Because they were stuck as champions, so they may have been referring to ultimate, the layer above champion, or they may have meant 2 levels above champion. I don't know.
Did you say layer?
Doesn't really matter.
Serial experiments, layer one. Sorry.
They didn't do any fighting as what we call the ultimate level, except for Garurumon.
Yeah, where Garurumon was fighting.
There was one sequence, I think, where they were all like all ultimates together and then Demon like rush them as a group or something.
I think they were megas.
I think they turned into megas right after that, but it was all quick. That sequence was quick, and then they reverted. Then they got random konbini food in the middle of the evacuated town. Like,
they break into a konbini. Canonical.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Ashley and I discussed that when we were watching. We were like, they probably broke into Miyako's abandoned konbini that's been abandoned for months because her family's dead. And
is she even real? I mean, it's just, yeah, they break into their konbini. They totally broke into a konbini, y'all.
It's okay. It was for a good cause.
Yeah, it's fine.
Odaiba is just being destroyed again. Just an average day in Odaiba. Yeah.
Honestly, you'd think they would stop rebuilding it.
You think that nobody would come back, even if they did build it.
just sink it into the sea?
No, it's just like...
It's not a real island.
Oh, wait, wasn't there... a point when they're fighting I noticed this when we watched the first time and I forgot to look for it the second time.
What?
But there was a point, maybe it's just a street, but I thought there was a point where like Odemon flies and it's like on a runway. And I was like, are they back at the airport?
I think it's just implied to be a street in the water.
Yeah, I guess
water.
It's just a street.
I do remember that scene that you were talking about.
Yeah. The first time I was like, oh, it's a runway. The second time I noticed that like the buildings. Okay, we complain about the animation and the direction and everything about try all the time, so I do want to give it credit this one time. There was actually some use CGI in the backgrounds. Well used, because it wasn't very noticeable. Like, all the buildings, there are lots of dynamic shots while Odemon's flying through and attacking. They're CGI buildings. I mean, buildings are probably one of the easiest things to CGI, because they're not living, breathing things, but it actually worked pretty well. Mostly because everything was super dark and impossible to see.
Yep.
Which is another complaint I had. There's so many scenes that Ash and I first watched it like in the morning on our TV, and it was the 02 kids just being silhouettes. We couldn't see anything.
Yeah, it was just like they're just staring at something.
I wasn't sure if there was anything visible. Like I thought, are we just supposed to hear from the dialogue?
I mean, okay, even seeing their silhouettes, watching it the second time, I was like, these are such lazy silhouettes.
Well, maybe they were beat up that badly.
They just became cardboard cutouts.
Yeah. It's so bad.
Like, when I heard people talk, because we saw it that one time, and then I heard people discussing the movie, and they were referring to them as silhouettes, and I was like, okay, that's just shorthand. Like, what they mean is that they drew them, and it's really, really dark, and there's lots of shadow.
No, they're literally silhouettes.
It's literally just character outlines.
You just described half the movie.
I guess that's true.
Minus the silhouette part.
I
can't believe this, Tri. How dare you? How dare you?
But I think the big elephant in the room is that this is or is not the end of Try.
Oh, it's
Adventure.
Not. Daemon's coming. Or maybe Diaboromon? I don't know.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about the whole, this might or may not be the end, but I enjoy how trollish that...
I know. I was like, Licky Jenna, you got in the ultimate troll in the end there, didn't you? Good old Licky Jenna.
Because, like, it even could have been simpler. It could have been Daemon or Dagomon. You know, like, it could have been just the ones that are stuck in the Dark Ocean or something that we know that everyone agrees is in a lingering state. But he also threw in Diaboromon, which no one thought of as being in, like, a, like, potentially up in the air state. So it's just like...
What a troll.
He's just like, I could do anything. I could bring anyone back. And...
Wait, anybody?
Myotismon again.
Yeah. Well, we sort of got a Myotismon in the play.
That was probably, I think, the worst part of the play. Just to, like, have a weird Myotismon form of something. I don't even remember that part of it very well.
I kind of remember.
I remember it, like, existing. I remember, like, there was a design announced.
Still the best part of Try, that stage play.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, still the best, like, thoughtful character writing with consequences and, like, actual moment, like, impact to what it was exploring.
Yes. I'm so mad that Hikari had the same problem that she always has in this movie again. I was like, Hikari, we need to get past this.
Being a younger sibling.
Yeah, being a younger sibling who gets possessed sometimes.
I feel like she barely had an arc in this movie. Like,
it wasn't really an arc. I mean, I guess the arc concludes with, hey, Taichi, you're a jerk. I told you not to kill this thing. And you're like, you can hate me forever. But I'm going to stand by you, Taichi. And I'm like, no.
No, that was just
That's
so...
That's not how I interpreted that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it was written horribly. Maybe I misunderstood or
misinterpreted
things.
No, I just watched it. And that is definitely how I understood it.
Ash, how did you interpret it?
I mean, I was hoping they wouldn't actually kill Meikumon. So my take is a little... outdated by the movie itself, but
so you're wrong. But go on.
Yeah, but like the fact that she decided to fight with him meant that her influence would do everything she could to prevent Meikumon from actually dying.
I mean, yes, that is how I wanted it to be. But then she blatantly attacks Meikumon.
Yeah, that's
wait. Yeah, I mean, this is Digimon. You have to fight your friends, but.
That's
what
I find so frustrating about that whole discussion on any level. Because it's, like, so not clear if they know if they're killing or not. Like, they're just attacking, like, all this, like, philosophical, like, do we want to kill her or whatnot? Like, do you know if you can or can't? Or, like, what are you... Is the action that you're doing, what consequence does that have? Like, we have no idea what people are thinking, what consequences their actions could possibly have, what consequences they think their actions have. It's all just, like... stuff happens and then you're told what the consequence of it was, or you're not told, you're just like not shown Meikumon, and so you're like, I guess she died.
When she disappears, then she says thank you to Meiko and then disappears. It seemed pretty like heavily implied.
Definitely think.
But like,
I mean, this being Digimon, there's always the realm of possibility that it's not true, but like,
especially if there's a sequel,
that is what they implied heavily.
I guess also like the distinction between beat up so bad that you revert back to your original form, to back to like rookie or in training form, and beat so bad you disintegrate and die. Like, we so rarely see Digimon that are beat that aren't good guys who can revert. You know, like, they're either good guys, and so once they get beaten down, they revert, or they're Angemon, or they're bad guys and they get defeated. So, like, having someone who is like a good guy and could revert back, but is then just killed outright, it's like, okay. And it's not framed tragically like Wizardmon or whatever, so it's just like, why was that attack different than the ones that just caused them to revert? Like, I mean, yes.
Could they have attacked a little bit less? I don't know why they don't think that she could possibly revert. Like, I don't really understand their mindset of, after all they've been through, why they don't think that's possible, but...
And it's also like, I could understand... I feel like the fifth movie at least kind of explored, like, do we need to kill her? Like, maybe this is okay if we need to. And I feel like they didn't close the book on that or conclude it or anything, and they barely even brought up that topic this movie. Like, I feel like the discussion of, like, should we actually kill Meikumon didn't come up at all until Taichi came back. They had victorious music. They digivolve into a Megamon. It was all victorious. And then Kakari was like, no, Taichi, you're wrong. And I was like, what? I thought we were being victorious. Now, like, what? I don't feel like it was actually trying to undermine
Taichi's like, I'm not wrong, but you can hate me if you think I'm wrong. It's fine.
I'll never forgive you, but I'll fight by your side.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that the mechanic is so murky, it's so hard to know if what they were actually aiming for that. All just such...
Wizardmon's presence, definitely a disappointment.
I guess he is a ghost still. He wasn't rebooted.
I mean, it was just like, You hyped him up for that? Really? Cool. Thanks.
They didn't hype up Mizuru.
They just put him a little bit in the poster.
It was a teaser, a little bit in the poster, and the fan base was like running wild with speculation about that. Hi, Popo.
Mizurumon dead?
He's definitely dead.
I think he's a ghost, I guess.
Everything was rebooted?
I mean, I guess he didn't come from the digital world originally. You could explain away that.
He's from Wizalni or whatever it's called, which is another Tamagotchi spinoff thing.
So I feel like the information in Adventure to provide credence to that theory was always super thin. It was just Wizardmon, when he shows up to Gatchaman, is like, I'm from somewhere else. And then people are like, oh, he's not from the digital world, he's from Witchland. And like, but I guess this kind of... Everything's so murky, whatever. I mean... They didn't explicitly say what happens to Digimon. Digimon who... No, they do say that. Digimon who died in the real world, die for real. And then the reboot brings them back, so...
Licky Genii was full... He's the only... I hate Licky Genii because he is the combination of a dumb Sword Art Online, over-the-top, stereotypical villain, plus your awful Twitter friend who says one-liners of philosophy and thinks that they're so deep and will save the world or whatever... He's that combination of evil, but, like, he also gets to say the best things. Like, he gets to say the most definitive things, the most trollish things. And on some level, I love him, and on the other level, I viscerally hate him.
So I have a couple comments about that. I don't think most people have a Twitter friend that spouts philosophical... I think you're just subtweeting one or two people right now.
Okay, maybe.
But, like,
who you are.
I don't think that's, like, a common thing everyone has. People might have, like, friends in real life. I think that's the more relatable experience. They have, like, a friend who...
You know which friend you are.
We all know that one guy.
Yeah, we know that one guy.
Who thinks they're super deep.
It's always a guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely always a guy.
And what was the first part of...
He's a trolley over-the-top villain.
Yeah, the trolley Sword Art Online villain idea. Like, Sword Art Online is the thing that comes to your mind. Also, when we were talking in the when we watched the episode, you called it Sal.
I
call it Sal. That comes to mind because that's, like, the big distaste in your mouth recently, right? But, like, I don't think that's, like, it's not limited to Sword Art Online. And
I mean, I know it's not, but all those things are lazy and I hate them.
Yeah, I guess there are a couple particularly egregious examples in Sword Art Online of just people that are super, like, to show how evil they are, they're, like, super rapey and, like, I'm gonna use your body and blah, 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 and, like, I'll,
there's,
like,
the one guy who literally is Licky Genii. Like, the guy after the initial arc is basically Licky Genii.
Huh? Oh, no, the tentacle guy.
Yeah, the tentacle guy.
Yeah, I've blocked that out of my memory. But I was trying to think of it because, like, I do think there are villains that take that, like, flamboyant evilness to an interesting degree.
Uh-huh.
And definitely not, like, the Sword Art Online villains, but there's a villain in ReZero, in, I think, the second half of ReZero.
Oh, God, him.
Yeah, I think...
Beetlejuice?
Yeah, is that his name? I forgot his name.
Betelgeuse
or something.
I mean, it's... the Japanese pronunciation of Beetlejuice.
I think he took those flamboyantly evil mannerisms to an interesting degree. It was, like, interesting to watch. It just, like, taken to it, like, absurd, like, okay, contorting his body in, like, crazy ways. Whereas Evil Genii is, you know, like, I'm so evil. Whoa. I'm being extra. That's what he's just being super extra. And I don't know.
Jeff, if you play with monsters, you have to make sure that you don't become the monster yourself.
Okay.
That's what he said.
It's so deep. That's another example of the
phenomenon. You stare into the abyss stares back.
I wanted to fact check that, because I'm like, was the original Japanese line also the Nietzsche quote? Or, like, did they translate it into a Nietzsche quote? Or...
No.
What? What's Nietzsche?
When you stare into the abyss stares back.
Oh, boy. He's an actual philosopher.
Oh, my God. I'm that tired.
Andrew, Nietzsche... did you go to college?
No, I thought he was saying niche. Like, saying
what's
niche
a Nietzsche?
I may have been pronouncing it weirdly. But it's the ex-evolution problem of wanting to sound smart by saying things that are pretty basic in the most convoluted way. And I feel like Hackmon is the best example. Like, Licky Genii, at least, like... it feels like it's in character. You know, it's like he's trying to seem the most extra. Like, that comes across through I feel bad saying flamboyant because I feel like that's, like, I'm tying it into, like, queer things.
Yeah.
Which, is there a better word to describe his, like, his mannerisms?
Extra.
Yeah, just extra. His extraneity.
Yes.
Is that the noun form of extra?
Yes.
Extraneity.
There you go.
But it's in character with like his both his physical mannerisms and his like philosophical
speech. Philosophical outlook.
But Hackman is just like Hackman's like trying to give useful information in the most complex writers. Like, no, like,
it's
just,
okay. I know I can think of a Hackman in my life.
Okay.
You know who you are.
I like how he bothers to tell the one character we never see again in the movie. That's the first thing he does.
Oh yeah, he tells Mako's dad. Yeah.
I don't even remember what did he say to him.
He's like, the final project is coming.
Oh,
you failed, so we're doing the thing.
Yeah,
and then we never saw him again.
It's okay. We never saw Maki again either. Who exactly?
Yeah, exactly. Who?
I am glad that.
Wait, I was saying about Maki.
What?
So I think the structure of this movie has some interesting and unflattering parallels to Avengers Infinity War in that it feels like.
I didn't see that yet.
I'm not going to spoil a specific.
It's just. Ezra's very hype now.
But like the phases of the Marvel Universe feel like. I feel like the first two phases didn't really feel like this, like the Avengers movies that capped off those. You know, like you have a couple individual superhero movies and then you have an Avengers movie that like combines them together. They never really felt like this. This is the first one that really feels like the end of a season. It's the season finale of the Avengers. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone's come together and there's some big cliffhanger. And that's how it ends. You're like, I can't wait to find out what happens next.
Nah, it's not even a season finale. It's like the mid-season finale.
Seasons are constructed differently. This season thing is a thing I've heard a lot of people talking about. I think it's a pretty apt analogy. And I feel like similarly feels like this is a super, super unsatisfying finale for Adventure the series, even for Try as a series. But if it's the, like, you know, like the end of Try Part One or like Try before leading to something
26
else.
26 more episodes coming.
I thought you were going to say
3 more years.
I thought you were going to say 26 more tries, like,
oh, no.
26 times this.
I'm not crazy.
But if it's going to continue in some form, I think it's a lot more appetable. Is that the word? It's more appetizing to me if it's like.
Appetable.
but anyway, that's just to explain, like, with the Infinity War analogy that, like, they're similar in that way. But in every other way, Infinity War is like a million times more satisfying, I think. Like, in the way that, like, Try has some interesting ideas, but like fails in execution all over the place, I think. Infinity War, just like, Ashley is a prime example of this. You have no interest in Infinity War because it doesn't really explore interesting ideas. It's just fun action flick.
Yeah.
But it's executed. So like the minutia of the detail, the character interactions, the writing, it's all executed on such a perfect level that you're like, this is a really, really well done movie. It has nothing of interest to someone like Ashley, but whereas Try is like some interesting ideas and terrible execution. But the one thing, the other parallel is that the Infinity War trailers show a character that never appears in the movie.
That's just mean.
Like, they've gotten to this level of like avoiding spoilers. Like, yeah, they don't just like there's some things that are basically just like, you know, advanced video editing. Like, there's a, like in we can talk about, I'm gonna spoilers for Thor Ragnarok, but you probably have seen if you've seen trailers for Infinity War, you've probably seen Thor in this state. Like, in Thor Ragnarok, he loses an eye, and there are trailers for Infinity War before Thor Ragnarok that showed him with that eye, and then after Thor Ragnarok they took his eye out. So like, they do all these things to like play around and not spoil you in the trailers, and one of them is to have a character in the trailers for Infinity War that doesn't actually show up.
I don't like it.
Try Chapter 6, the dub release in September.
Yes.
There's the, if you go to the Fathom Events page, it lists all the characters that are in the movie.
Yeah.
And it lists Maki. Oh. And like, Maki's not in this movie.
Maki was not in this movie. No.
Yes, Maki. She was.
There was a flashback where they showed her for like a second.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember where. I just remember noting, like, I guess
it
you're technically
Daigo
in here.
It was Daigo explaining, and then he's like, I don't even know if she's dead now, though. It was, like, the end of that conversation.
I guess.
They might have shown, like, one single screen of her.
Yeah. Like, a still shot.
Yeah, it was, like, a still shot of the flashback of her with Tapirman. Oh, no. She does have more in that flashback, because it goes back, like, he's explaining how she wanted the reboot to happen so that she could get her partner back. So it shows all of that flashback, like when they met and her going crazy. And then it concludes with him being like, I don't even know if she's alive or dead, though.
Yeah, she's probably Dagomon's bride or something.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's what the next tries.
That would be. You know, if the next try series season, whatever, involves like Maki having fused with Dagamon to become the like demon queen versus Daemon who was infected by Yggdrasil, like, sure.
That'd be fun.
Sure.
Maybe. Hire us, damn. The one thing that I liked about this movie was that Daigo dies. I was like, you finally had the balls to kill a human.
Okay, I agree with you. I really enjoyed that moment. I'm hesitant to read too much into his death being 100% actual death.
I mean, that's true.
Oh, no, he's super dead.
But, like, we don't have a track record to go based.
What happens to humans who die in the digital world? We don't know.
Digital world. They
do
butterflies.
Oh yeah, I guess we actually do. Oh, Ikawa died in the digital world.
Oh yeah,
they become butterflies.
Okay, he's a pretty butterfly somewhere. I like it.
No, he's not, because he's been rebooted.
Hey, what happens to humans in the digital world after it's been? But wait, the butterflies are in the epilogue.
Yeah, he died after the reboot.
No, Oikawa.
What?
Oh, Ikawa.
Yeah,
okay. I guess he's gone.
He's gone.
No, but the butterflies. What if those just random butterflies in the epilogue?
He's alive again. Actually, that's what the second try is going to be about, you guys. Oh snap!
But does that mean he has to die again?
Yeah, and it's just going to go in an infinite loop.
Wait, if you reboot a human, do they become a child again?
Yes.
Yes.
None of the mechanics of the reboot make sense. Like, I think we just accepted a lot of, and so there are questions raised about reboot in this movie, about like rebooting the real world's digital systems, and they just are like, it's gonna be catastrophic. And I'm like, I didn't buy that at first, but Ashley explained it like the way you were thinking of it was that, like,
yeah,
it would actually just like erase all digital progress, like not just records, but like no digital things would work anymore.
Yeah, like it would go back to version 1.0 is how I thought of it.
Not just like 1.0 of all digital tech.
Yeah,
they were implying,
I like that. Like that makes sense. Like that would be super catastrophic. That wouldn't just be like, I don't think they did a good job explaining that. I was just like, anyway. But
wait, I thought it would reboot the entire world, as in like
that's what I thought.
It was going back into the quantum sea.
No. The quantum sea. No, that this was confusing in chapter 3 as well. The quantum sea was what would happen if they didn't reboot. Like if Ordinemon kept causing chaos. The quantum sea would, I guess, be like, I guess homeostasis is like the digital world's keeping every like system to keep everything in stability. But the quantum sea is like an even more natural layer of like what would happen to the world if it just chaos. Like once it became too chaotic, then the quantum sea would come in and replace it or something, I guess. But
Jeff just eye rolled really hard.
I didn't mean to eye roll. Oh no! The reboot mechanics, we've gotten used to them. And now we're like thinking about the second layer of reboot not making sense or whatever. But like the first layer of reboot doesn't make sense. Like that still never made sense. The fact that like they're reborn at File Island when like that's not where the Digimon originated. The fact that Alphamon. Okay, I think maybe the fact that Alphamon and Jessmon retain everything, you could explain by like someone homeostasis or Yggdrasil both doing what Koshiro did of making backups of their data. Which I guess effectively just mean the reboot doesn't do anything as long as you know about it in advance.
Yeah, enough. What?
But like, what happened to the holy beasts? Like that just seems so directly linked to once you're reviving Tapirmon and Bakuman that like, weren't the holy beasts important? Weren't they useful? Were they doing anything? Are they doing anything? What's the?
Are they back? They're fine. The world's good now.
No, they're not. They've been rebooted back to like.
To back to nothingness.
Back to rookie form, presumably. Back because like Bakuman is a rookie form, like right, like back to pre having their adventure, so they're not holy beasts anymore. Like digital worlds.
Oh God! If Maki didn't break down for one more movie, this would have resolved her character arc.
Oh yeah, I realized that, and I thought it was hilarious.
What was that?
Ordinemon has all the memories of all the Digimon, including Tapirmon. It would have fixed Maki's problem.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Actually, there's a lot of points where everything could easily resolve itself.
Oh, wait. Actually, I do want to raise a possible flag for that. Like, because they said all the Digimon, and I don't know if they meant, like, all of our Digimon or all Digimon in the world. Because all of our Digimon, there's a presumable mechanical explanation for that. Like, Koshiro was building a backup system for their Digimon. He wasn't building it for all Digimon. So, like, and that's supposedly what Meikumon absorbed or whatever, right? So, like, I don't entirely see how she would have gotten all Digimon data.
Well, I thought that was why she was special.
I mean, I could see based on the vagueness of this movie, either being true. Like, either she's special because she absorbed, you know, 8 Digimon's memories, or special because she was able to absorb
Digimon's the entire world. Digimon's are forever. That's what Lucky Jedi told me.
Yeah. I was also thinking, like, why would Hawkmon, oh my God.
Hawkmon, oh boy. Hawkmon definitely was not here.
There's Hawkmon is transliterated as Hawkmon and Hawkmon in different
things. Yeah, that's why I'm confused. Yeah. Also, it's 6 a.m. Like, what was his aim if it wasn't the reboot? Because he did say he had a different thing in mind. So I thought, she literally has all the memories, all of them. Mm. And I mean, like, we're used to, what's his face? Mm. Calumon is the concept of evolution. So she wouldn't be the first.
Except she's apparently just...
incarnation of something weird. I mean...
I find the fact that they just... that Megumon's gone now. So frustrating. Like, trying to think why I found it so frustrating. Like, it feels, there's something that, like, feels like it doesn't connect to. I can't remember.
I mean, in the end, it just feels like this whole movie was inconsequential because Maki is presumably dead. Daigo is presumably dead. Mako is, like, presumably written out of any future things by way of Megumon being dead.
Where's the end of that sentence?
On that note, Mako... one thing, like, I found Mako's focus and Mako taking focus away, quote unquote, taking focus away from the 0-2 kids frustrating throughout all the try. The fact, not just that, like, the spotlight's on her instead of 0-2 kids, because that's a matter of, like, what you choose to focus on. It's hard. You can't focus on both of them. So, like, but the fact that they speak all these platitudes about being friends forever and they're so important and whatever.
Yeah, it's not so hollow.
While they're not remembering the 0-2 kids. But as of the resolution of this movie, I actually find it a lot more acceptable because what it feels like at this point, if this was like these 6 movies were like, you know, like a year in the life of the Adventure Kids, and it's like an adventure they had over an extended period of time, but it's not the story. It's not the entire thing. It's not like they're friends with Mako and like they're the best friends for life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it less contradicts that, like, feeling of loyalty that we thought they had to the 0-2 kids. If Mako is like someone who comes in, had a big adventure with them for a year and then left.
I mean, but we get enough hints. It's just like, it doesn't make sense at the point where they're fighting all these real world battles and doing all these things. And Daigo is like, I had to keep this information from you. And I really wanted him to take the jab of like, and it was so easy because y'all never asked where the heck any of them were.
Y'all are idiots. Like,
yeah, y'all are so dumb.
Especially you two, Tiki and Kari. Yeah.
That's the other thing, like, it doesn't even, there's not, I don't even see a, presume like a, there's nothing that easily comes to mind as, like, how those 4 0-2 kids found out without Tika and Kari, Takaru and Hikari finding out too, like.
Right.
But whatever.
Actually, the great thing about that thing is, what the hell was Davis thinking going into a battle against a mega with 1 mega and 2 champions?
Why are you assuming Davis thinks?
Yeah. Well, oh, burn, sick burn.
Do you not know him?
Do you not know him?
we also know nothing about
the
situation.
We literally found out that they found out a plot and then they died.
We know they heard about Yggdrasil and we saw a shot of them ominously with Alphamon.
What happened to Alphamon?
Alphamon's busy in this movie. I assume Alphamon is somehow being controlled or influenced by Yggdrasil, and also who knows if evil Genesis as mysterious man is Yggdrasil or is an agent for Yggdrasil. I don't think he is Yggdrasil either. I mean, I've seen some people speculate that because Hawkmon says to
him... What is he? I don't even know. I don't care.
I take him at his word that he said in movie 4 or whatever of him being a corrupted Jedi. Like, some people... there's so many layers. What I want to say is... going back one layer, I'm going to come back to this. Hawkmon said to Jedi, like, you're using that form or something, when he was using Ken's body.
Yes.
And I think people assumed that meant that, like, he is Yggdrasil just using all these different forms. With the extra information that in the pod, the silhouettes in the pods, there are five silhouettes. There's the 4 0-2 kids and Jedi's silhouette. So people are concluding.
That, but cool.
Yeah. People are concluding. I think initially they were like, there's like a spiky haired.
Yeah, there's a spiky haired one. And I was like, who's that? Yeah.
So that's Jedi.
Rio.
And so,
it's Rio.
That's another thing. Put that aside for a second.
In
the parking lot. Is that the business term? Anyway.
That is the term.
Yeah. But people are concluding that because that's Genai's body, that, like, okay, he's obviously not the real Genai. But Genai is known for making clones slash offshoots of himself. Yeah. So I just assumed that one of them got corrupted fully.
Interesting.
And the other thing I want to say about is that... so there's this, I'll link to this in the show notes, but there's a resource, I think it was written up by, so there's a resource by, written by Onkei Kun, who does a lot of fan translation stuff for the Digimon community, and she basically went through the, so the Digimon Adventure light novels, I think there are three of them, and they are retelling Adventure with adding a bunch of extra information, and I think changing events some, in some places, like apparently, like, Takeru doesn't get his crest until the end or something. There's some events that are different, but also adds a bunch more backstory. It's the first time where they mention homeostasis as the thing that possesses Hokari and whatever. And it adds a lot more information about, like, a Pokemon, how a Pokemon formed, and, like, where a Pokemon came from, and the firewall. And it explicitly talks about Piedmon, the seed that Piedmon planted in Genai and stuff. Mm-hmm. And basically, there are all these ideas that, like, things that I initially was like, oh my god, in Tri-Chapter 3, they're mentioning homeostasis, that's so cool. Or, like, they're, like, possibly referring to Genai being corrupted by the dark quote spore, whatever Piedmon planted in him. That's so cool, they're coming up with these ideas. Oh, and the proto-adventure kids, the Maki and Daigo having holy beasts.
Right.
All those ideas are like, oh, they're calling back to all these things. They were all, you know, like, similar versions were explained in the light novels.
Okay.
So they're not ideas that came out of the new writers coming in and be like, what can we, what are the loose, they're not like, what are the loose threads from Adventure and how can we tie them together? They're more like loose threads from Adventure and kind of retold in the light novels. And they're like, okay, let's take some of that from the light novels. And one of those was talking explicitly about Genai being corrupted by Piedmon as being like throughout Adventure. That's the reason why he's in this, his house is under the sea because it's supposed to be super zen and keeping tranquil to keep it from going rogue.
Interesting.
And, which I don't feel like really gels with the fact that he just invites them in and is like, cool, you're my house. Like, if he's like, I might go evil at any minute. Like,
I mean, I accept that this is just some actual Genai.
Yeah, like, form. With some, like, the thing from Piedmon, like, keeping him going corrupt or whatever, or like.
Sure.
Like, it might even, like, the thing, I think people are also assuming that the little cube that he has at the end is. Yeah. Oh, that's what I find frustrating about Makemon dying. Like, yes. I can accept Makemon dying as a necessity to get rid of the Shard of a Pokemon. If Makemon died and you just still just has the Shard of a Pokemon,
that's like, apparently what he has, right? Yeah,
like that just feels so frustrating that, like, she essentially gonna go put it in
Daimon.
Yeah, but, like, is that really the conclusion? Like, I can accept her dying because it saved the world, but, like, I guess it's just
for
died.
Now.
Yeah, like.
But Rio, though.
Everything in life is only for now.
What was that song?
It's from Avenue Q.
I should see that. Speaking of Digimon. One thing I want to mention, I put Rio in the parking lot. Let's go back to Rio. People have noticed, and I've seen this making the rounds, that that there is a, when they show the kids around the world with the devices randomly, that I guess helps.
Yeah, all two groups. Is Rio there?
No.
Rio's there, Ashley.
He is?
It's someone who does not look like Rio at all.
What?
Oh, wait, let me see if I can find it. I'll send the screenshot. There's someone who doesn't look like Rio at all, but has the same shirt as Rio from our war game when he was, like, in the woods or whatever, like, in the wilderness.
I feel like I remember that shot, and I was like, this feels familiar. But again, just because it's supposed to be, like, a reenactment of half those shots, but with older kids, right? Like,
but that's the thing. It's, like, it's definitely, it's very much the same shirt. It's not even, like, oh, it's kind of similar. It's, like, in the sense that, like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, why would you wear the same exact shirt that many years later? Like,
for 6 years. Yeah. 6 years. Not five, but.
It even has the same scarf.
Jacket. It could last that long.
Yeah, I guess so. But now he's a new hat. But also, he doesn't look like Rio in the new version at all.
Wait for this image to load on this slow...
slow hotel Wi-Fi.
Slow hotel Wi-Fi. Oh, man. Oh, maybe yeah. This is the shot Rio. Where I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty weird. Feels very familiar.
Honestly, he looks like Izzy.
Yeah, I don't think that's Rio. I think that's just a strange callback.
So you think it's just like a callback to someone wearing a similar shirt and...
Yeah, and being a mountain.
I don't think it's supposed to be Rio. I think it's a weird continuity thing that now it's like, if that's supposed to be the same kid, I guess it was never Rio in this continuity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It could just be a thing that's not supposed to be affecting the continuity of that being Rio. It could just be like a weird callback or whatever. I have one question. Kind of, if we hadn't, you know, if we didn't have to watch this for the podcast, like the day it came out, or like the hours of it coming out, if you were just like had the freedom to watch it whenever, how quickly would you have like your curiosity? Like, how quickly would you have wanted to watch it?
I need. If I didn't have to watch this for the podcast, would I have watched the other five?
Yeah, if you already watched the other five, and then we were like, Pottages is done, no more Pottages.
Then yeah, I would watch it.
Forced you.
I would have watched it on Saturday.
Ah.
Wow.
I follow enough Digimon blogs that like I'd get annoyed by the spoilers, so I would go watch it.
Mm-hmm. I think Ash was the only one I was interested to hear that about.
Okay, well, you got it.
I mean, Ashley, I assume you would have... I guess maybe you would have been you because you get like sometimes when you're indifferent, you're like you get like righteously indifferent. You're like, no, I will not watch this right away.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have watched it right away. I would have been like, I don't care. It's like it takes for me in particular, it takes something being really, really good for me to have enough follow through to like consume it in a timely manner.
I have direct counter evidence about that. Wait, in a show called Darling in the Franxx.
Yo, I love Darling in the Franxx though. That's you said it has to be trash, good. But I love
it. You said it has to be good.
No, I am addicted to their romance.
Oh, boy.
I am so sorry for you.
I'm just straight addicted to it. Oh, no, is the new episode bad? See, I haven't watched a new episode yet.
You shouldn't be straight addicted to it. You should be queer addicted. Sorry.
Okay, that's cool, too. Whatever.
There's a new opening, apparently.
Anyway. Should we move on to Shipping Corner?
Yes.
Ship them out to sea.
I guess we should start with the one that I left off here, which was Tai Chi X Yamato. And someone wrote in
that
was not on here.
How did you forget?
That cute little fist bump thing.
That was like the most...
That thing was amazing.
That thing was amazing. Asher's already retumbled that like 5 times.
I mean, I haven't because I don't like spoiling things for people.
But eventually
I may,
you will.
I actually may have put that in my queue. I don't remember.
In the moment, I was like, really? That's it? Like, not going to hold hands?
I really wanted them to hold hands. I really thought they were going to.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it fits with their, like, we're too mature for we're too cool now.
We're too cool.
Just a little.
Teenagers.
I think this is actually, like, pronouncedly gayer than holding hands.
Actually, the more that I think about it, like, as we've been talking, the more that I think about it, the more, like, the fact that it is so... Like, the fact that it is so, like, we want to show affection, but we can't.
Yeah.
Is what makes it more strong than, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like, if it were an actual, like, direct fist bump,
it's
it would
incredible.
Be, like... Like, an actual, like, fist bump is, like, whatever. Happy. But a, like... Oh, hey, bro.
Hey, bro. It was Tai Chi being, like, stay strong, Yamato. Also, I love you.
Just, like, he was... Yamato was so, like... It was really hard to like not read all of Yamato's like missing Tai Chi and being the only one who can replace I did not like that word, first of all, but like the only one who could replace Tai Chi. It was really hard not to read that as
the
like,
only one to fill in the hole.
He's the only one who like understands what Tai Chi's about. It's like it's really hard not to read that as shippy.
Oh, I actually kind of, on a similar note, like talking about replacing Yamato was more, I was thinking more about how Gabumon tries to like replace Tai Chi's, the whole Yamato's heart of Tai Chi. And it's like, you don't have your partner anymore. It felt very much like Maki and Daigo.
Gabumon being like, I'm going to hug you, Yamato, and then give you a rant about how I'll always be with you.
It's right after Yamato was like, oh, what would, like, Tai Chi, why aren't you here?
Yeah.
And then Gabumon's like, I can be here for you. I can be your partner. Here.
Please love me. Love me, Yamato.
And we saw how well that worked out for Maki and Daigo, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, yes, obviously Tai Chi and Yamato, like, one true pairing, but
there was also Yamato and Sora.
Are they a thing? I'm very confused.
Another thing that I found in going back and listening to our old episodes of Triad Discussion, I forgot just how much of our discussion early on was eaten up by being like, are Sora and Yamato a thing? Like, is this?
We still don't know,
but it's become less and less important, and we care less. We find that less crucial to anything because it's just like, of course we aren't supposed to know that.
Of course.
Or that's a thing that happened before, but like, And I don't mind. I don't mind them, like, not being, and, like, Sora needing to decide which one she feels more about. But, like, I mind that it doesn't fit with 0-2 and to walk that back.
Whatever. Taichi goes out with Mako now.
I appreciate that. A little bit. I don't know why I do.
I shouldn't.
I take it back. Reverse my decision.
Jeffrey, I'm going to warn you that they're giving us food in a few minutes.
Okay. I'll make it interrupted in a minute.
You're doing a what?
We're getting food delivered from Ashley's teammates. Are there any other ships? Any other shipping corners?
Kari X bed.
Bed?
that's oh, hey. I guess true. Yeah, the big one. Zakiru. That...
It's not as strong as Taito, but, like, it was nice to see them, like, having that special bond again.
Yeah, Hikari and Takaru, I'm like, you're a thing. Patamon makes it canonical.
It was the Patamon... It was the Patamon overreacting that I was like, this is going too far, I think.
Yeah, like, it was like, Patamon, this is actually not the time to make your little Hikari and Takaru shipping joke right now.
Oh, wait, we didn't actually talk about Sora and Yamato. We just talked about the concept of Sora and Yamato. Sora and Yamato had their moment With Biyomon, like, storming in and be like, why'd you make her cry? But also, like, discussing what they should do about Taichi. Like, whether Yamato is okay leaving Taichi behind. And
yeah, it's really about Taichi.
It's really about Taichi. And I love it.
That conversation fails the Bechdel test because they're talking about Taichi.
Fails exactly. the Bechdel test on many levels. But yeah.
Hey, did this movie completely fail the Bechdel test?
All of them have.
Yeah.
Are we surprised? Digimon does not pass the Bechdel test.
They had that one scene where all the girls are, like, talking to each other as Hikari has a fever. I don't really remember what they're... But all the dudes just stand there being like, the girls are having a moment. It was kind of funny.
I vaguely remember that being a thing. I don't remember any details about that. There was, like... I feel like there was so little Mimi in this movie in general.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, there was a supreme lack of Mimi.
Yeah, but she had her I'm gonna fight you game on...
I've seen some people on Twitter and social media reacting strongly to that, and I'm like, it is literally an image or two of, like, her along with everyone else in group photos. Like, I feel like it's everyone struggling to be like, she barely got any moment to shine. We need to have some Mimi moment. And I wish there was more actual Mimi moments. I feel like the other movies have done a better job, even the, like, disliking 4, disliking 5. I feel like they did a better job of balancing everyone.
Yeah.
This one just felt like some people, like, barely had, like, Mimi.
Like Joe and Mimi got shafted, man.
Joe was there.
Was, like, not in this movie.
his body was there.
At least he showed up.
Good thing we only love him for his body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexy Joe.
That's why I aim for a Joe body every day. Oh boy. I guess I want to briefly talk about the like opinion polls that we had, like how they shifted our opinions. So I don't know if you saw it. Listeners may have seen on social media, mainly, I guess it was just on Twitter, actually. I ran these opinion polls about a couple of different talking points. I guess the ones were like, do you think Try has been a good addition to the Digimon franchise? How do you feel about Mako? And are you disappointed in Try? And we polled before the movie came out and after the movie came out. I feel like the listener responses, there was some drift, but it's like pretty minor. I feel like it was all positive drift, though. Like, things going from like 35% strongly agree with Digimon being a good addition to the franchise to 37%. And things roughly like that. We also asked our hosts, all of us, and then before the movie and after the movie, and I thought some of the differences were interesting. Like, I went from, the question was, how much do you like Mako? And it went from love Mako, dislike Mako, hate Mako. And I went from beginning of the movie, before the movie, disliking Mako to liking Mako. Asher went from liking Mako to loving Mako. And Ashley and Andrew say the same. But I'm kind of curious, Ash, why'd you go from liking to love Mako?
Largely, it's because I kind of want to rescue her from Digimon at this point. Like...
Do you think she's an interesting character outside of the role of Digimon?
Honestly, no. Honestly, like, my opinion of her has not particularly changed. She did a little bit that I, like, throwing Yamato off in the ocean and, like, really...
What?
Like, solidify... He tried to grab her arm and she was, like, not having it.
I don't remember.
She literally throw him. She did not do that, but...
And then he called her an idiot when he has to, like, go save her because something from Ordinemon is, like, going to hit her.
Right, but, like, I appreciated her sticking to her guns. But, I mean, she did not really grow as a person. But Digimon Try, kind of except for Mimi, has been so just, like, completely crappy to its female characters that I'm at the point where I'm spite loving Mako.
Good job. Like, I'm proud of you.
Like, you gave me any female character, therefore I love them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
Or I guess any female character that isn't like Yoshi or Zoe.
I like Zoe.
Do you love Zoe?
Do you love Zoe?
Honestly, I like most of the Digimon female characters. It's just they treat them like shit, like all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
When I think about liking or loving characters, I feel like I'm in my head kind of like conflating the character themselves and the scenario they're in for most of their time in the show. So like when I think about like not liking Zoe, it's like I like her character. I just don't like her scenario.
Oh, see, I don't do that. I like Zoe. It has nothing to do with like how crap Digimon treats girls.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, you also went from very disappointed in Try to a little disappointed.
Well, I liked this movie.
Yeah, it makes sense. So I want to talk about one theme that I found interesting in... It really wasn't so much in this movie, but in reflecting on the other movies I had in my mind when we came into this movie. And there's kind of some signs of it in this movie. And it's what the Mako and Makomon relationship has to say about codependence. And I feel like the evidence from chapters 1-5 of when Mako goes full corrupted mode, it's when she separated from Makomon. Sorry. When Makomon gets corrupted,
it was separated from Mako. Really confused.
Their names are too... My thesis is that they are too... It's an unhealthy codependent relationship. They are too close together. They are a unit that cannot be separated. And if they are separated, they go berserk and the fate of the world is at risk. And the fact that their names are identical is like another sign that they cannot be separated. They are an atomic unit. And when they're separated, a nuclear explosion happens. And
so I guess you're also going to argue is how Hikari and Taichi are.
Yeah. Yeah. You're sneaking at the notes and I,
how dare I look at the notes that we've prepared?
I think that's what they were going for, at least that like that Hikari is too codependent on Taichi. And, but I'm going to put that back in the parking lot now that we're using this business terminology. Cause I want to talk more about Mako and Makomon, like
such a business podcast.
Yeah. We're the premier business podcasts are really popular. Like entrepreneur.
I know
you can 101 do it yourself. Business advice, marketing.
We would do really well.
Anyway, the other chosen children and their Digimon have had to be forcibly separated. You know, it's all tragic. They have to leave at the end of Adventure. And I guess between Adventure 0-2 and Try, they somehow got separated, whatever. And that's really sad. But we've seen that it makes them into more independent people that don't have these like crises of like, oh no, we've been separated. I don't know what that means to be a person anymore. And like,
I know what that's like.
What?
Whoa.
Oh boy. I didn't mean to make this into a family therapy podcast.
We're a business podcast, you guys.
Remember. We're a business advertorial marketing podcast.
Yeah.
Hashtag content. But the other kids have, I'm just stalling for words while I'm trying to remember what train of thought I was on. They've had to be separated. And in the last movie, I complained that Mako kind of treats the other kids like they are her senpai about having a Digimon when she's been with Makomon so much longer. She's been with Makomon nonstop for 6 years. The other kids have like, you know, had big adventures, but like only been around them for a much shorter period of time.
Like a summer camp.
Yeah. And so like I found that frustrating in the last movie. I was like, this is not logical. It seems like a contradiction. It seems like something they've overlooked in the writing. And now I've kind of reversed that position. I'm like, I mean, I don't think it's articulated well, but I think if you dig beneath the surface, I think it does make sense that she, you know, like in having this unhealthy codependent relationship with Makomon, it has not reached a healthy relationship that the other kids have with their Digimon. And I think like stepping back and being like, what concepts could a new season of Digimon Adventure explore? I think what happens when you have a Digimon and human relationship that is, we always present that as being a super positive thing that's always positive and great. What happens if that's actually negative because they're too codependent on each other? I think that's an interesting concept. I guess it's kind of sad.
We wrote Yamato and Gabumon, but isn't like Biomon and Sora the more traditional one?
I guess so, when they're in their first appearance and stuff in adventure. But I wanted to bring up Yamato and Gabumon because the stuff that Gabumon said to Yamato in this movie in particular was like direct contradiction of everything that I've been saying just now. Like everything about how I thought chapters 1 through 5 were showing that too much codependence was bad and unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Gabumon's like, I'm going to do that. That's going to be amazing. I'm going to like play baseball with your children.
Yeah, play baseball.
I'm going to go to the hot springs with you when
you're 85 and old and wrinkly.
Yeah. So like, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I guess it contradicts, like, I feel like the movie was definitely framing that as a positive thing and a good thing. And I feel like, I guess that contradicts what I thought the movies were saying before, but also do the movies have any coherent vision?
Nope.
Barely. Yeah, no. So
some people on Twitter would fight you about that, but okay.
but the other thing, back in the parking lot, Hikari and Taichi, I do feel like what they're trying to go for in the last movie when she causes a dark digivolution because Taichi is gone, that like, yeah. I guess that means they were so codependent that like they're separated for a little bit and she just goes full.
But it's not codependent though. It's just her being dependent.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't go both ways. It's unidirectional.
No, it's definitely both ways.
No,
just more towards one side.
I think a similar situation could happen where like if Hikari disappeared, Taichi be so mad with vengeance.
Yeah.
But I
guess we are showing that in past seasons, but not in Chai itself.
But also I think it's like a protective, it's a very I guess
or
it's
maybe their family. This is kind of normal, actually.
I mean, I get the feeling that Taichi has actually like gotten over some of that, but like,
right,
he was at one point super crazy when Hikari was sick and he was separated from her.
Well, I think he's gotten over it. Somehow Hikari keeps having the same damn problem, right?
But like, I think, like what Andrew's saying about being normal, I think it is normal for kids when they're younger to have that, you know, very tight, like, I will protect my younger sibling, and the younger sibling being like, I will be protected by my older sibling. And I do
think... Isn't she like 14?
I mean, I think that's something that is fair to grow out of at that age. And I think that I feel like the movie didn't really portray it as being, like, I don't think we actually see Hikari being super dependent on Taichi. You know, like, they say in this movie, I think that she's like, we were always by each other's side or something in the beginning when she's reflecting back. And it's like, were you? I don't think you were.
But you weren't, though, because in the beginning you weren't there.
Well, they do the flashback to the scene where she wakes him up and it's like, oh, yeah, you woke him up for school. That means you were the...
It's like also in Adventure Zero 2, y'all worked together.
That's the thing. She went on her own. She had her own whole thing and like occasionally consulted with him about like the struggles that they had as adventure kids that the Zero 2 kids don't know about. And like...
Well, the difference between then and now is she didn't watch her brother get swallowed up by the earth because of a stupid royal knight doing a thing.
And I'm just thinking about like her, what she said as like, we were always together. And that
it's not true.
It seemed like she grew out of this before. Yeah. And for the movies to...
A lot of stuff that the Digimon Adventure kids did in the past they grew out of it in 02 and now they're not.
I don't think... That's really the case. I think they just had different things. Like, I don't think you would say that, like, Joe studying in Tri was a reversal of his 02 stuff. It was just a different situation. Him studying for high school entrance exams in 02 is different than him studying for college entrance exams.
Well, Joe's the outlier.
I don't know about that. I guess to some sense, yeah, Tri has always been guilty of rewriting, like, just glossing over things from 02 to make a more quote unquote neat and tidy story.
Glossing over things of 02, they're glossing over a lot.
Yeah, but I find it frustrating that Hikari, they say that Hikari is super codependent, super dependent on Taichi, and is not really. And that's the amount of character arc she gets in this movie, is that she confronts him.
Yes,
and that's supposed to be like she is not being like, I'll go along with you, but we don't actually see her doing that much. We don't see her being like, I disagree with Taichi, but I'll follow him because he's my brother and he's the leader and respectable and everything. But we're supposed to believe that like the one time she disagrees with him, that it's like, oh, that's a big deal. That's a whatever. it's lackluster and awkward. And the rating of the whole scene, just
I always so want better for my Hikari, man.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
When Daemon comes.
Oh yeah. She's got Maki and Hikari are going to like alternate being brides of Dagumon.
Oh no.
They're going to have like,
please don't.
Oh,
what?
The Bachelor, Dagumon edition.
No, it's more like that game show, whatever it's called.
The one where they compete with a bachelor to become the bride.
No, an actual game show, not a reality TV series.
I think my bachelor joke was amazing. Answer questions.
Where is Maki? Is she Daigo's mom's bride? I guess. Probably.
I was prepared.
Daigomon?
Whatever.
Daigo's going to digivolve into Daigomon, which is like Daigo.
Y'all, I just solved everything.
Oh, boy. When I was thinking about preparing this podcast before we watched the movie, I was like, we're not going to have an unanswered question segment because it's just going to be like, there's the things that are wrapped up and there are loose threads. That's it. But no.
Are you serious?
Where's Joe's girlfriend?
No wonder you guys.
Why does she never text him?
No. That's the thing. The question's like, where is Joe's girlfriend? I expect it to exist, and I was just like, yeah, there are going to be obvious things that aren't explored that aren't going to be. No, what I'm saying, that's the reason why I didn't initially think we'd have much of an unanswered question segment because I thought there'd be lots of things that are not addressed.
What is a demiurge, Jeffrey?
I did not think there would be so many like, what were you thinking? What were you doing? Why were you like those kind of questions? I should have.
Why were you all standing there?
You guys were disappointed.
Why were you standing there? What point, Ashley?
At any point.
At every point, every always. Point.
Yeah.
Why was the computer lab? They fell in a ditch in like the desert of the digital world and ended up in.
That's how the digital world.
The
works.
Lab nope. That Daigo and
that's
Maki
fine.
Used to.
That's
and they somehow fell in such a way
the
that
the digital
only...
world has been explained to me in such a way that I'm like, whatever, sure.
No, it. I mean.
I don't understand Licky Jedi's explanation of, like, you can only send one.
Okay, no, that actually makes sense. It's because there are six pods. There was one unoccupied. There were five
I don't
people.
Think that's true, though.
There were five people on life support in the pods. And the scenario set up was the life support is cut off now. They will die if they don't have life support. And there are five pods, and there's a sixth seat. And what they allied over is that the pods are life support and also teleporters. And
no, because I think that they described that one pod specifically as a transport pod. Daigo is like, get into the transport pod.
Yeah, I think it was the one extra pod. He said there was one seat. I think it was one extra seat. That's what I was confused about was I thought Licky Jedi was saying that there was only one thing and they had to choose between the 402 kids and Tai Chi and Daigo. They had to pick one of the six of them. And I was like, but then how did they send all the 02 kids? And I think it's that they were all transports, but one person had to die because there was one more than the number of transports.
Yes, that is how
I
understood
that is
it
what,
also.
That is not what I read several hours ago.
I think I was similarly confused. I think I had the same confusion the first time, and then the second time I was like, okay, they definitely lied over and did not make it clear because there's the conflation between are the pods transports or life support things? Are they both? Why are they both?
No, but there's
what is
definitely
this?
A line in which Jedi is like,
there's
oh,
one seat
you can
left.
Only send one.
He said
thing.
There's one transport. There's only one seat. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can easily one. Stand.
They can easily just go both in one. I think they need someone to also trigger from the outside. That's the thing, like, you need someone to trigger from the outside. Isn't that all you need to set up the scenario? Like, just say someone needs to lock it from the outside.
Well, it's obvious who should die, and it's Daigo.
How did they fall in such a way that only Daigo got hurt?
I know that. That's
also,
the thing I don't
also,
understand.
Also my out there theory, Daigo's not dead. That was red calligraphy ink. Guys,
no.
Y'all are being absurd to think he died. That was red calligraphy ink.
He's dead.
He had a pocket of red calligraphy ink
in his
jacket.
You know, them falling in a hole such that Daigo is the only one who is mortally injured makes sense.
Was it such that Daigo was below and Tai Chi was... No, Daigo was above. Because they were reaching hands, right?
Yes.
And Daigo was above.
I mean, presumably he, like, brought Tai Chi into himself and, like...
Ooh, that's my fanfiction.
Somehow, yes, exactly. I don't know. It doesn't make sense that Tai Chi has literally no wounds and Daigo is like, I'm dead.
Well, no. Daigo seemed like, I'm dead. And then he used the computer and they got to the computer terminal. And we were both like, wait, what? You can move? And you're just like, totally fine.
Yeah,
he later retches like he...
Yeah, he
like,
slowly deteriorates again. But there's definitely like, they set it up in the beginning that he's already so dead. But then they're like, computer's turned on. And he gets like real hype for like 5 minutes. And it's like, what?
What? You don't feel like that when you turn your computer on?
Yeah, Ashley.
Duh.
Once you log onto the World Wide Web, surf the web.
Yeah. What other questions do you have? Where is the idea? Just where is idea
about that 6 episodes ago?
I mean, it's
where's the demiurge?
I guess those are things that can be explored by future. If there's more adventure or adventure try, whatever.
No more.
Wait, so Ash, did you see the news that was tied into this at all?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so for people who haven't heard about it, there's a new Digimon project, which is all the adjectives that have been announced.
There is a new Digimon project, period. And then Licky Genii saying, next is Daemon. Or maybe Diabormon.
And it's not like there's some anniversary coming up next year. Yeah.
Didn't we just have one?
So Tri was initially announced
like 4 years ago.
Yeah, Tri was announced 4 years ago at the 15th anniversary. It's been 4 years leading up to this magnificent, wonderful moment. there's so much about like. So I think Adam from System Restore and With Will podcast mentioned on Twitter that the way he was thinking about this was that the movie felt like it was trying to hedge and had to be both a season finale and a series finale, and that it did both of those like kind of well. And
not at all.
we can't judge it. I don't think we can fully judge it as a season finale without knowing what future seasons would explore. Judging it as a series finale.
It's an awful series finale.
I guess the parallel would be like Western TV, because, you know, in Digimon seasons, usually season and series, aside from an adventure in 02, are synonymous. But thinking more like Western series, where, you know, you can end the season and not know what the fate of the show is. And this is not, I don't know, in some ways it does feel like a show that doesn't know it's coming back or not. But like, I don't, if that, I... Because I do see like how if like Licky Genii falling into the portal and being like, next is Diabormon, next is Daemon, like I can personally extrapolate, like I can do the dot 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 in my head of like, and they kept having adventures. Like Yggdrasil is this recurring villain who keeps causing chaos for him. Like I can imagine that thing in my head without needing to see it. And
but they just like so obviously shoehorn, like left out 4 characters of this, and then were like, let me mention things in which they were involved.
just leaving the fate of Maki, leaving Alphamon out is kind of just like, that feels par for the course of like, you have more mysteries than you have answers to, kind of. But Maki, it's like,
she's in the dark.
That's a super unsatisfying way to end her arc. And try every movie has felt like it had, every movie has felt like it had more, had less to say in a movie's runtime than it, you know, like was always padding. And it's just a shame because it's like, we've got so much screen time and it's a little story or development. These aren't answer questions anymore, so.
No.
Should go into
these are complaints again.
These are complaints again.
Everything's complaints.
Complaint.
It's all connected.
I don't have my soundboard, so I can't have Trubamon scream, Terminal Judgment! Oh, wait, he was there. That sounded totally like him.
Terminal Judgment! No.
Do we have
any?
Yeah. I'd say, do we have any last thoughts? But no. We are going to reconvene to do some listener Q&A. And there are lots of interesting questions that we got that I'm excited to tackle and to read people's theory reviews and everything. So this isn't quite the end of our discussion. But for now, any last thoughts?
Try. You so disappoint me.
Ashley just looked so like... like a kind of tiredness and weariness to her soul just now. Like it wasn't like I'm tired from playing hockey, playing two hockey games today and it's now 9 o'clock. It was like my soul, I feel like the old man in the sauna with Gabumon after these 6 movies.
I feel like you had moments of brilliance, Tri, surrounded by a lot of bad things.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Where are the 02 kids?
We found the cardboard cutouts.
We found them. They're in the hospital. It's fine.
They don't even, like, the pod, that they like we see Tai Chi's washed up pod. Why is it only one pod?
I don't know, man.
Oh, my God.
There's an unanswered question for you.
Why didn't anyone know that? Wait, how did they even find out about the O2 kids?
Koshiro called them and said they were found at a hospital.
Well, oh, yeah,
what
I don't
about
know.
Tai?
So, I mean, presumably Tai Chi brought them to a hospital and then, like, told Izzy or something. I don't know.
Everyone's like, oh my god, Ty's alive.
Yeah, he definitely did not call Izzy.
Yeah, that's not possible. Maybe he just like...
Hey, the parents were in this for a hot second. 5 seconds.
The parents, as in just Diagami parents?
Wasn't there a
third? There was one other.
There was one other.
And I couldn't identify her. Who was she?
It was Meiko's mom. That's what frustrated me, that like they are the only parents that have been in this. And I really think it's just a voice actor thing. Kushiro's parents were in the first movie in super the awkward scene where they couldn't talk. They couldn't talk because I assume they couldn't get the voice actors. And it's like there's so many limitations. That feels so frustrating to me because it makes it feel like the fact that they don't speak feels like we're constrained on resources. And I can understand that when you want to you can't have all these extra voices and stuff because you're constrained on resources. But then it feels like the Tokyo arc of adventure was a bigger deal than these movies, by having all these extra characters and everything. And
it was.
They were. It just straight up was. Yeah. It's the one true Digimon. Let's be real.
And I forget if we mentioned this in the recording or if it was before the recording, but one of Tri's biggest strengths is the fact that the character writing, even if the character arcs are frustrating, even if the resolutions of Digivolutions are contrived and this is silly, why did this happen now, but whatever. But it feels like the characters, the way they speak and act and everything feels like the characters, and there are moments that's oh, that's them. That's great. This movie had a moment or two of those cool moments.
Yeah, this movie put a lot into that Gabumon Yamato scene and was just I don't really, that's kind of weird.
And that was really sweet. It was a really sweet scene, but not enough to carry the whole movie. And it was weirdly dissonant with the maybe undertone of codependency being bad.
Yeah. Koshiro gets to be Koshiro. He's I cannot let things rebooted.
Yeah. He basically is just replaying his arc from the third movie. He's just replaying his scenes from the third movie. Yeah.
He was being proactive again.
Yeah.
Which is something that Tri doesn't do half the time.
One thing I like, and it's conditional on if there is more of this story, if there's more to, if the stuff that Lucky Genai teases is actually explored. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of really dig the framing of that kind of villain. I'm still frustrated that he is just evil. He's not I was so hyped for, especially after chapter 3, that it seemed like Tri was heading to a position where there was no evil. It was just people with different, it seemed like Maki had a reason to do these things. And maybe
Maki had a reason. She was fine.
She was backed up by pure evilness.
She went crazy, but she was fine.
So even with that caveat aside, I don't like that it's pure evilness, but having this jester figure that is meddling in these events and makes Meikomon be the focus of the season and plays around and is I'm going to tease and then drop this big villain. I feel like that is the kind of framing of villains that we always wanted from adventure. But instead it was just you beat Devimon. Oh, here's Adamon. Oh, here's the next one. Here's the next one. Here's the next one. And it's oh, they were actually all working for this one. And it's were they? So at least Lucky Genai being that jester that caused all those things. I like that framing if we get to see several iterations of it or whatever.
You keep saying jester and I keep remembering that I kept expecting him to just turn into Piedmon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was speculation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I see where it came from.
When I wrote the question of do you think Genai will turn into
Piedmon is what you were thinking.
Yeah, I was if it's anyone, it might be Piedmon, it might be Myotismon. Might be
anybody really.
Oh, should we look at I do want to briefly mention that we did those prediction questions. We posted them on Twitter. We also asked our hosts and then we scored them to see what percent of the questions we got right. And you can if you go to our Twitter page, you can find the questions. I just want to list the scores. And creepily enough, me and Andrew got the exact same. We got 4 wrong out of 14 questions. So we were both tied for first place with 71% correct of our predictions. I said Daigo is not going to die. Andrew said Maki was going to die, which maybe not confirmed this movie. and Andrew also said that Genai would be revealed to someone else. But anyway, the thing that I found super fascinating is that Ashley and Asher, just totally uncoordinated, answered everything exactly the same. All 14 questions.
That's why I was so disappointed that Asher was I have the exact opposite reaction to this movie than you.
You went in with the exact same expectations.
Yeah. Went in with exactly the same expectations.
And wildly different.
I care about my expectations. Yeah. I think I wouldn't have had expectations if you had not made me do that. Like, those are not questions I ask myself, and I was annoyed at you for making me.
Yeah, they are pretty plot-y.
Yeah, thanks.
I feel like this is the one time where, like, they expected a lot of plot to happen, even if people were trying to hedge and be like, oh, well, it can't resolve everything. But we all did kind of.
Then don't make too many things that you can't resolve.
These movies.
They're not movies.
They are movies.
They are movies, Andrew. They are shown in movie theaters in Japan. They are marketed as movies.
That doesn't
mean
anything.
It does. They are movies. They are made to be movies, and then they are hacked into episodes that are awful and have a minute and a half of the same thing that you just watched a second before.
The distinction between are they released as episodes or not, it's more, is the thing that before it's stationed episodes, is that an OVA or a movie? And those are already nebulous terms. And I listened back to, we had an argument about this in chapter one, and no. the distinction is already pretty nebulous. They are marketed and shown as movies in Japan. Here, they are shown in movie theaters, released as movies on DVD. Like, everything says movies. There's not, like, a clear dividing line between the two of them.
It's a movie.
Yeah, movie's the safest thing, and, like, distinction is also kind of meaningless. Do we have MVPs for this movie?
Do I have to go first?
Ashley, you're first.
Oh, boy.
I had not thought of my answer, so.
Daigo, because he gets dead.
That's not nice.
I'm glad that he died.
It was just red calligraphy ink. No. I don't know red. Asher, who's your MVP?
Oh, geez. No.
No. You liked the movie, though. You liked it.
I liked this movie. I don't think anyone was my MVP.
Or Dean Mann's butt?
Yeah, Dean Mann's butt.
No, I didn't like that. Put it away.
Put it back.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter. Like, we don't have any kind of actual fantasy job running.
It doesn't matter.
Asher,
Andrew, who's
no.
yours?
Hey, Andrew, who's yours?
Davis, because he forgot to invite TK and Kari for the most important battle that led to these movies.
Cool.
I can't tell if you're joking or, like, actually convinced that there was actually a battle. Because I assume they just, like, caught off guard. Anyway.
No, they knew. And then also, they got wrecked.
Also, the kids saw Maki using Ken's D3. How are they?
No questions.
I'm going to say Daigo, because that Daigo scene, Daigo is my favorite from the beginning. He isn't a calligraphy. That's cool. He didn't die. It was just calligraphy ink.
No.
But even if he didn't die, his scene was emotional. Ashley, do you have an MVP for Try as a whole?
That is a very hard question.
I just answered it basically for myself.
I mean, you did. You just said it's Daigo.
Daigo, it's Ride or Daigo.
Okay. I went through many emotions. I was like, no, yes, maybe, yeah, sure. Oh boy. Damn.
Daigo becomes Die Went.
No. You killed it.
Go and die?
I'm going to punch you.
Please do.
I guess Mimi? Like, I don't know.
It's a good answer.
Padamon.
It's a good default.
Is a good.
You were complaining about Padamon's wing flaps in one scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it made funny noises, and it was like, don't do this. I would actually say Takaru before Padamon.
But Mimi. First choice Mimi.
Sure.
Asher's just going to say Goemon or Joe.
Joe.
I mean, I was also thinking Mimi, but, like, you know, those are good choices, too.
So Mimi?
Yeah, I think I'll go with Mimi.
Andrew, you can't choose Riley.
What?
You can't choose Riley, and you can only choose Maki.
What does Riley have to do with anything?
You chose Riley for, like, an entire season.
What?
Even though she never did anything in half those episodes.
I assume you're going to pick Maki, but you're going to refer to her as Punchy Masaru?
No.
You did that like, the first two chapters.
What? She's not Punchy Masaru.
Okay, not Punchy. You said something. You were saying that,
Awkward female Masaru.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Punchy Masaru is redundant.
I was like, that's what Masaru is.
No, it's also going to be Mimi.
Oh. It's going to be Mimi.
It's gonna be me. Baby. Me.
And okay, last note. Ashley, rank the movies.
Oh boy. What a challenge. Challenge accepted. 3, 2. It gets hard from here.
Oh, it really does.
3, 2. What happens in 5 is like Mako, Makuman, corruption, sadness.
No, it's like it's Mako like contemplating what to do about Mako.
Whose movie is it supposed to be?
It's like Mako and Hikari on the cover, but it's like because the coexistence thing happens at the end. Their symbiosis, their fusion. There's like the ghost story in the middle.
Oh yeah, the ghost story, the weird ghost story,
and the Jessmon Alphamon orgy fight.
Right.
Oh, I just want to throw out this absurd prediction that since we already saw that Hackmon is a little bit, Jessmon's a little bit leaning towards the Jessmon side, the future Tri installments will have Omegamon will become Imperial Jamon Palademon, who will found the Royal Knights with Jessmon and Alphamon, and it's going to be an origin story of the Royal Knights. That's what everyone wants, right?
Yeah.
No.
3, 2, 5. Oh, boy. 3, 2, 5.
So you have 4, 1, and 6 left.
Yes, I know.
Everyone else should be thinking about their
4.
Answers.
4.
We're going to put 1 that low.
Yeah. 1, 6.
Asher, do you have a good sense?
No, because I don't remember what any of these movies were. Sorry, skip me. Just go.
I guess it gets harder the more movies there are.
Yes.
Andrew.
Shit, I just had it.
Well, I'll go first. Mine would be 3. Definitely 3 than 2. And then it gets tricky and... I definitely want to put 4 below 1, and I need to pick where to put 6 among those. And I think
it's going to be a long, long time.
I think so. My final ranking is 3, 2, 1. I didn't put 5.
Yep, you didn't put 5.
Oh boy, which one was? You're 5?
Like, now everything.
Which
is
one
wrong.
Was 5? This is, we just had this conversation in reverse 5 seconds ago.
The one with the campfire scene.
Oh yes, the campfire scene.
The ghost story.
Yeah, and I guess I put that above 4, and I don't know about 1. I think I explored more interesting ideas, and then 6. Okay, so final, going from top to bottom, is confession, then determination, then coexistence, then reunion, our future, and loss last. Andrew?
2, 3, 1, 6, 4, 5.
But I'm wondering if our things changed too much.
I was consistent, yes.
Yeah, I was consistent too. I inserted 6 near the bottom, second to last place, but
I just added 6 to the end.
Yes,
I put the 1 that low consistently.
Was Andrew consistent? No, Andrew had a big upset. He moved 5 to the bottom.
I never liked 5.
You had a second to last 4, though.
You flipped 4 and 5, basically.
Because yeah. I remember it wasn't that bad, but I like everything else better.
What hurts me is putting 4 that high.
For who?
For you. Me. For
it's
myself.
Still like a second, the bottom half.
Yeah, I know, but it's still like, it's bad that 4 is that high.
Yeah, 4 I think is the one I look back on and I'm most frustrated by because it's like, has the, there's going to be huge consequences, these reboot thing. Yeah. And then it's like, by the end, no.
But at least
and
I remember
also they evolve,
4.
And I guess so.
I don't want to remember 1, but I do.
Okay, and the final note, I already did the gender quiz results, so I was going to read them. So everyone open up. I'll do Daigo, Ashley do Makemon, Asher do Ordeenmon, and Andrew do Evil Genii. So, okay, so I'm going to start off reading for Daigo. Daigo's gender is murder mystery. Your gender...
That's too accurate.
Daigo's gender is dead, and foul play is suspected.
No.
But the body was found in a windowless room, and the door had been locked from the inside. What's more, the police are useless.
No. No
also,
way.
Also, you can't see, but the picture is Benedict Cumberbatch in Sherlock attire.
Did you rig this?
I entered as Daigo.
No.
Who can possibly piece together the evidence to solve the perfect crime? This looks like a case for Banner Click Carrot Flesh. It's a weird Benedict Cumberbatch joke.
Okay.
Anyway, I didn't even realize I put that in there. Okay, so Ashley, do Makemon.
Makemon's gender is the inky void between stars. Their gender is the void that exists between celestial bodies. is not completely empty, but consists of a hard vacuum containing a low density of particles, predominantly a plasma of hydrogen and helium, as well as electromagnetic radiation, magnetic fields, neutrinos, dust, and cosmic rays.
Comic rays.
Comic rays. I was like, no.
Ooh, I want to see Cosmic Sands.
Cosmic Sands.
That'd be cool. All right.
Okay. I'm Ashley. Ashley. What gender is Ordinaemon?
You said Ashley, and it's Asher.
I did not say Ashley.
Yes, you did.
You absolutely.
You 100% did.
My mind said Asher.
Okay, that's great.
My tongue said Ashley.
Yeah. Okay.
Technically,
is that a normal like a common problem for you?
Is that really? Because we should reevaluate this.
Okay. Okay. Asher, what gender is Ordinaemon?
Your gender is under construction. Your gender is not yet finished. They're still working on it. Check back in a bit.
No, that she's definitely got a gender.
Yeah, but hey, she's...
Don't gender her without her consent.
Okay.
Yeah, there was lots of evidence for physical sex. There was no evidence for gender. True.
Way to school me.
Yeah. Andrew, what gender is evil Jedi / mysterious man / LG Licky Jedi?
Licky Jedi.
Licky Jedi is cave. Your gender is a...
Okay, go on.
Your gender is a hollow place in the ground, specifically a natural underground space large enough for a human to enter.
That's his house! Oh, shit.
It's formed naturally by the weathering of rock and extends deep underground.
It's so stupid.
So I did do a bit of manipulation and foul play in that the first time I answered for Licky Jedi, I actually got the same thing as Daigo. I got Murder Mystery.
It's much funnier as for Daigo because it's creepily accurate.
But also Daigo, if he got in cave, also would have been really accurate.
Yeah, this one's pretty good.
But I think to change Evil Jedi's results, I just was more like more emphatic in my answers.
I see. You were like, Licky Jedi is a very extreme man.
Yeah. Now it's time for Recommendation Articulation, the segment where we plug things we want to hug. And recently I've been hearing on podcasts where they start doing recommendation or plug segments and they're like, we don't know what to call this thing. We're going to call it this weird thing this other podcast uses. And I'm like, why would you? It's just a plug segment. Like, and I was like, wait, I've called it stupid things forever. Anyway, Ashley, what do you want to plug?
So Jeff and I were messing around looking for Vocaloid songs, and then Jeff found a non-Vocaloid version of a cool song that I don't really want to have to pronounce, but I guess I do have to. It's Asuno Yozora Shokaihan, and you should look up the Yuaru version. And I have listened to this way more than I want to admit that I've listened to this.
In case you can't parse Ashley's, I don't even know if she pronounced that correctly, Japanese. There'll be links in the show notes to find it.
I'm bad at Japanese, y'all. This is the great shame of my other podcast.
Asher.
I don't have anything. Sorry.
Asher says, do not do things. Things are bad.
Yeah.
Too early in the morning for this.
It's 7:20 now. No, so actually, that's an okay time to be alive.
And technically, for me, it's now tomorrow.
It's already tomorrow. It's been tomorrow for 7 hours and 20 minutes.
You could say, Andrew, it's the edge of tomorrow.
No, it literally is tomorrow for me. It is
no longer the edge.
Andrew, what do you want to recommend?
I'm going to recommend a light novel called Reborn as a Vending Machine, I Now Wander the Dungeon, Volume 1, which basically involves a guy and he dies, and then he's stuck as a sentient vending machine in another world.
That sounds incredible.
What Jeff needs to read.
I do need to read that.
So it's actually kind of simple. So he's a vending machine.
I mean, I think we got it. I think we got it.
Don't.
Yeah.
It's perfect the way it was, Andrew.
Yeah, I think we're all going to try
to
do it.
No, don't explain it.
I will say one thing. There are instances where a woman flirts with a vending machine.
We knew that already.
My recommendation this week, I want to recommend, usually I try and recommend things that I've already completed, and I haven't for this, but I don't have anything else that I'm like you super about right now, and it's a shoujo manga called We Were There that I've been reading just to keep up to date with Ashley's podcast, and I am only like 9 or 10 volumes into it, and the
first
16, and the first 8 volumes, I was like, I'm really not sold on this. I've been reading a bunch of other shoujo manga, and I kind of blurred in with those in my mind, and there were other ones. Kimi no Todoke I also really love, and I was like, I want to go back to that. But the end of volume 8 is... The end really blew me away in a, like, I'm super mad at this book now. I hate it.
You also love it.
it was really masterfully done. Like, just the execution of that conclusive end to the middle of the series, to the first half of the series, is really great. And then there's a big time skip, and it's the first half... I guess, is that a spoiler? I think people might... Okay, I'm kind of spoiling. If you don't know what the time skip is, if you want to, like, go into it really fresh...
Stop. I don't even know what the series is.
It's interesting. If you don't want to know what it is, skip ahead 30 seconds. But if you do, it's... Half the series is high school, half the series is not high school. So, that's interesting.
What?
Like, for shoujo manga to explore, like...
Shoujo manga becomes Jose manga.
To explore college and work life stuff... I thought it was pretty interesting. In the wise words of Nietzsche Ibsen, gains inexpedient, philosophy strong derive, ultimate aesthetic, ocean horror endless drive, convictions merciful, evil truth madness Christian.
I feel like that actually is an accurate description of this movie.
It did talk about ocean horror and evil truth and madness Christians. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
if you want to know what you thought about this movie and what you thought about our discussion about the movie, let us know your thoughts at pedagogy.com/T6.0. And also, we're going to be recording a second part talking about Q&A and discuss and feedback from listeners. So if you want to contribute to that, you can also send your thoughts to us, pedagogy.com. You can also send your thoughts to us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook, or email pedagogy@gmail.com, reply to our With the Bull thread, or our thread on our Digimon for this episode, or people... Is there any behavior in this movie that is worth emulating to say people should do to get the feedback to us?
Jump into Tokyo Bay and...
And then it'll be on the news and...
Yeah, and then we'll get your message.
Yeah.
Jump into Tokyo Bay after having a huge fever.
Yeah.
That will go over well.
Huge thanks to Rihanna, a.k.a. RW09, for our awesome Tai Chi X Yamato artwork we're using for Try Chapter 6. And to our prodigious Patreon supporters who help make everything we do possible. Special thanks goes out to our current champion Patrimon, DiabJomon, the infamous Tokujo on Twitter, Dizzy Dizumi, who's at Dizzy and Lost on Twitter, Joe Kido, and Sam Kuwagamon, who also has a Twitter that I cannot remember. Yeah, I'm going to leave it like that.
You're not going to say the Moncast?
Oh, yeah, it's also in the notes. Moncast.
Like, why aren't you reading it?
I don't know. It's late. I'm tired. Also on the Moncast, which covers Pokemon and Digimon, and Jeff is now highly interested in it because he's also started watching Pokemon.
I'm watching Pokemon in Japanese, and in the episode with Charmander/Shitokage, there is a gogglehead named Daisuke.
Yep, so there you go. Digimon Pokemon facts. Our ultimate Patrimon, Emelecmon Free. We're working on that one, okay? That's a work in progress. David Graumon.
The person is not a work in progress. The
name is a work in progress. And our Mega Patrimon, Andy Lusamon, and Marcus.
And if people want to follow us on social media, Ashley, where can they find you on the interwebs?
And my hot takes on Digimon Try at AshmcD00.
And I'm Asher, kidding. If they want to hear silence from you.
They want to see that, you know, Yamato and Tai Chi fist bump reblogged 5 times.
I should go put that in my queue 5 times. I'm at Asher Dashery on Tumblr.
And Angie, where can they find you?
Nowhere.
In the Dark Ocean.
You mean the location in Infinity War? In Guardians of the Galaxy?
What?
There's a place called Nowhere.
Look,
spelled.
Some of us haven't seen the movie.
Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
It's the collector guy. The place called Nowhere.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I did too. Andrew is being uncooperative, and he is Andrew Softman.
You can find me at something like that.
Find it in the trip.
And I am Jeff Lee Jeff on Twitter, and the podcast is Pedagogy on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, everywhere except Instagram and Snapchat. Because
I should make an Instagram. I should make a rogue prodigious Instagram.
Share the podcast with the people in your undeletable memories. And don't share the podcast with cardboard cutouts of your dear friends.
And join us next week for the second half of our Tri Chapter 6 coverage. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop binge watching.
What'd okay. you guys get?
Okay. Apparently that taco stuff. It's a free comic book day, which means you have to eat Mexican food, apparently.
What?
You're apparently supposed to eat Mexican food on free comic book day. That's what I've gathered from the internet.
Really?
It's Cinco de Mayo.
Why? Oh. Oh. It's not here.
Ash was very confused. Because it's not the fifth.
It's not the fifth there. It is here.
In the wise words of Nietzsche, do you guys know what ipsum things are?
Yes.
Ashley knows. Well, I'll explain for the outro. Ipsum, lorem ipsum text generators are things that you just use as placeholder text on websites when you're designing websites. And there is a Nietzsche ipsum. And since Jenai quoted Jenai quoted Nietzsche.
He might as well have.
These lorem ipsum generators are just like random garbage texts that are like look kind of coherent until you actually read them. And it's like, it makes no sense. And that's basically what Jenai did. So that's why I picked this Nietzsche ipsum thing. So anyway.
As always, we want to thank our awesome Patreon supporters who help everything we make do pass.
That writing was more coherent than try.
Yep. I know it was.
We say bye together, right? Okay. So on zero, I'm not going to say... How do I do this? I'm not going to say one or zero, but say it when I would say zero. Three, two, bye.
Bye.
I almost said zero.
I don't know what I just did.
I think Andrew like vomited into the mic.
I was like, bye.
Wait, do we need to redo that?
No.
Please. No, it's perfect the way it is.
Wait, no. We should say 02. That doesn't make sense. Never mind.
No.
What do we say try? Let's say try.
Okay.
Okay.
No, let's not.
Okay. Say try at the count of zero. Okay. 3, 2, try.
Try.
I can't do this.